tough crowd.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy. Okay, O-N means on, right? Yeah. All right. I appreciate being here, and I thank the Lord for His grace. I appreciate the preaching. I appreciate the food. you know, some of that I used for, back home, used to use it for bait, but it was good. But I did. We enjoyed this. The first time we came, June, she said, "Oh, gosh, they got corn on the cob." And I said, "Yeah, boy, that looks good." And she got her some, you know. Now, June, she drank a glass of water, and, whew, that's a little spicy. so she, I'm sitting there watching. I done had my corn on the cob. I knew what she was going to get into. And she bit down in it, and it wasn't long till she didn't eat nothing else. She went and got water and everything else, and she said her lips burned for 2 days. I heard about it all the way back. But she didn't get no corn on the cob. She almost got one of them potatoes, though. They were pretty warm. I like spicy food, don't y'all? If y'all don't, y'all crazy, because y'all sure do serve it. But anyway, it was good. And I love it. I appreciate Mark and Louise. I appreciate the church here. I appreciate the ministry that's here. I thank God that when I go to these places like that, we live in North Carolina. There's not much going on where we're living at. I tell people we're between Gossip Corner and Demon Hollow. And that's about where we're at. If you ever been there, you know there's nothing around much. And we're about 15 miles from any little town or anything like that. We have an address in Harmony, which is nothing Harmony about Harmony, if you ever been there. And I'll never forget, they was telling me when I first went there, the old man sat on the pew out there, and they had a pew out there. And it's the Devil's Spittle Whittle Club. They'd sit out there and whittle. Them old men chew their tobacco and gossip about what the preacher or what the community or whatever's doing. And an old friend was sitting there one time, and this brother's done gone on to be with the Lord. And he was telling me, he said, he was sitting there, and a man drove up, and he was looking for a church of God, some church of God in Harmony. And so that old man, he spit down through there, and he said, "Well, let's see. Brother so-and-so runs the Presbyterian Church. Brother so-and-so runs the Methodist." And he went like he said, "You know, I don't think God's got a church in Harmony." Oh, Lordy, that's Harmony. But anyway, we're glad to be here and appreciate the fellowship. Appreciate Jerry and Kathy. We had a good trip down with them, and we picked on them a little bit. But anyway, we had a God-given fellowship on the way down, and I appreciate them. I want you to turn with me. I'm just going to hold you just for a few moments. Won't be long. You know, I was telling Brother Dan back there, I said, "Daniel, I'll give you plenty of time." He said, "No, you take plenty of time." I said, "Well, you know, if we get them out by 8 o'clock, that's just 2 hours. That's not even a good movie. You're on padded pews, and I'm full of sugar." We went to eat them Ben something, and the more you put on them that white stuff, the better it tasted. I've never got coffee with milk in it at the same time. Whatever that was, Brother Ovid, I don't know what he might have put something in it. I don't know. Linda and them had to stop me on the way out, because every time Ovid passed me, he'd rub his hands on my shirt. I had that white stuff all over the back of my shirt. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'll never be the same. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Now, before I get started, I want to make something clear. My sins was took care of at the cross. And I think about this a lot. God Almighty made His Son sin, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. The gospel of my salvation is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And He was buried. And He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There wasn't a sin that I'll ever commit. There was never a sin that I'll ever think about that I could possibly do in my flesh that Jesus Christ didn't die for. Now, the Bible said that God made Him to be sin. That sin, that old nature, that old man that produces the sins. You see, religion wants you to take care of the fruit of the old nature. They want you to quit sins. Stop doing this. This is wrong, all that. Clean yourself up. God didn't fool with that old nature except crucify it, and He gave you a new nature. He created in you a new nature. And in you, and that's one of the glories of the mystery, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And if we're sealed with that Spirit till the day of redemption, the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And I want you to know, if you're trusting Christ as your Savior tonight, believing that He died for all your sins, your sins is gone. Your sins, you'll never face your sins in this life or the life to come. You'll never be judged for your sins. God judged you at Calvary. God poured His wrath out for your sins at Calvary. The wrath that God poured out at Calvary, Jesus Christ took, it was my wrath. The death that He died was my death. The sufferings that He suffered was my suffering that I should have suffered. I died in Christ. I was buried in Christ. And I'm raised with Christ. And I'm seated with Christ right now in heavenly places. And there ain't a thing I can do about it. It is not up to me. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe there's a big misunderstanding about the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to look at some things about it, then we'll go on. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The judgment seat of Christ is not for the believer's sins. You were judged at Calvary. You were judged as a sinner. You were found guilty. The sentencing was passed upon you. There is no more that you can do about it. And God would be unjust to do anything about it. So look at this thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice Paul dealing with this word. Now you'll notice he says there in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 3, 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, or one individual. Every man, singular, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We're talking about labor here. He says, therefore, ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. You'll notice it doesn't say every man's works. It says every man's work. Well, in the context, what's the work? What are you doing on the foundation? The work in the context is planting and what?
Watering.
God does the rest. We plant. We water. Whatever you're doing, you might plant today and water tomorrow, but that's the labor that you're doing. There is no more work. The work is God's. The increase is the Lord's. You're either planting or you're watering. And that's it. Your works is work. I hope y'all see what I'm trying to get across. Folks, at the judgment seat of Christ, there is going to be planting and there's going to be watering. That's your labor. And that's what you'll give an account for. Now, everyone in here is either planting or you're watering to somebody. I want you to see, hang on to 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe there are some things about the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to try to cover them, and it's a subject that needs a... it's hard to cover it all in just in 40 minutes or so. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? The people. Who's the work? People are the work. You're either planting or you're watered. You have an influence on people. People is who you're dealing with. God saved you by His grace. He left you down here for a reason. That reason is there are some other people that need to be saved. So what do we do as a members of the body of Christ? God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. But to get them saved, what has to be done? Planting and watering. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged according to your planting and your watering. Not how you live. How you live was judged at Calvary. Now, we don't want to live a life. I think it was Brother Byron that said that our influence is gone and everything. But, folks, planting and watering. You can say a word here, a word there about the grace of God. Testify of the grace of God, what He's done for you. And you never know the impact that might have on some people down the road. I remember as a young pastor, just started pastoring a church and I got an invitation And that's a funny story to that. I was at another camp, and we preached, and I walked out, and this guy just walks up to me, and he says, "There's going to be a conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee," and gives me a brochure. I stuck it in the Bible and went on. And so this was like in January, several months passed or whatever, and another preacher that was standing there said, called me and said, "You going to Chattanooga?" I said, "No, I don't think so." "Oh, come on, I'll drive. Let's go up there. I need to get out of town anyway." Oh, boy. You know, that's serious business when another pastor tells you he needs to get out of town. You want to know if you need to get in the car with this dude. So here to go to Chattanooga, and that's where I met Brother Moore first time. Brother Moore, he didn't know me from Adam's house cat. Adam had a house cat. But anyway, he preached. You know what he did? He put some seed. Now, I was already saved, in spite of the fact whether or not people believe I was saved or not, being a Baptist, you know. You know, some people think if you're a Baptist before you've seen right division, you can't be saved. Well, I got news for you. I was. But anyway, I went up there, and he planted the seed. The seed was sown about right division. I come back, began to study. Never talked to him. Never, he didn't know me. And I had the tape. I found them tapes the other day from 1973 at that Rivermont Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they're old, but you still hear him. And I found the tape of the Bible study that they had in the kitchen that Brother Moore was back there and I went to. You've heard him tell where the missionary slammed the Bible down. You hear it pop there in there. And he got up and walked out. I'm sitting there as a young man. I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Lord, I hadn't been saved. I was saved in 71. And this was like in 73. And now I've seen. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I went back and began to listen to them tapes. From 73, I went back in 74. And from that time on, 74, 75, 76, till about 79. I never said nothing. I just began to study. And in 80, I called him. And he came up. I'm talking about planting seed. I'm talking about watering. That's your labor. Look with me again, and I want you to see something else. And turn with me to 2 Corinthians. People, as you work, you have we're members of the same body. We're all saved by the grace of God. We are to have the same care one for another. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said in verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor," there's labor again, "that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Now, I'm accepted in the Beloved, according to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm accepted in Christ, but my labor might not be. My labor might be wood, hay, and stubble. My labor, if I preach, if I teach, if I associate, if I lead people in the kingdom doctrine, and I do not rightly divide the word of truth, and I cause people to believe that doctrine, that false doctrine, my labor, my planting, my watering will go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ because I'm not building on the foundation of the Apostle Paul. And there's multitudes of members of the body of Christ today that are out there and they're working, they're laboring, they're sowing. They think they're doing the right thing and they're building wood, hay, and stubble. Why? They got the wrong doctrine. Now look at this thing about it. He says in 2 Corinthians, verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things. Now people want to say, okay, I got you. The things are is the bad things. They're sinful things. Well, let's look. He says there that may receive the things done in His body. Now, I don't believe that His body is my body. I believe it's His body, the body of Christ. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that don't bother me one bit. I believe it. And as long as this man says, go ahead and preach, I'm going to preach it. Look what he says. He says, therefore, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive things done. Why didn't he say our body? Things done in His body. Look at there. According to that He hath done, whether it be good things or bad things. Do you know you can do bad things in the body of Christ? Well, I don't believe He's talking about our fleshly body. There dwelleth no good thing in our fleshly body. Paul said in our flesh, evil dwells with us. He said, the things I want to do, I can't do it. He said, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, He's going to change our vile body. There ain't nothing good about your stinking, rotten body. I mean, if you don't perfume it up, if you don't shower it off, you know what you're going to become? You're going to stink. People don't want, well, I mean, we have to dress it up, folk. I'm glad you do. I think He's talking about in His body. Now look at this thing about it. So we got labor. We got our work. Our work is people. We affect people. We got things done in His body. As a member of the body of Christ, we affect each other. Over and over, Paul talks about edifying the body of Christ, building it up. In fact, turn with me and look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Mark, how long you want me to go? Really, truly. About what time you want me to stop? I'd put on brakes. It might just take me a few minutes to slow down. All right. Well, I'm going to coast on in a little bit. Look at chapter 4. Notice what he says. He's talking about the body. Verse 4, there is one body. Come on down with me. There's one faith. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he comes on, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now watch it. From whom? The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I mean, we build one another up. We support one another. And that's a good thing in the body of Christ. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account as what things we've done in His body, whether good things or bad things. What would be a bad thing in here? Causing disunity would be a bad thing in the body of Christ, wouldn't it? That would be a bad thing. That would burn your labor, your ministry, and promoting that would go up in smoke. If he talks about edifying. Look in chapter 6. He talks about, notice what he says in verse, talks about the servants in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You believe that? Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. I believe that. I believe if we are in unity one with another, I believe if we're our heart's desire, our motivation, our motive behind what we do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do to His glory. And you do that, you build one another up at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that'll be a gold or precious stone or silver into your account. Things done in His body, whether good or bad. Turn with me to look in 2 Timothy, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you know these people, you always hear these guys, they won't say judgment seat, they say, we're going to the Bema seat. You know, try to be, it's baloney. That's all it is. Use the Greek word and all this. Folks, just be yourself. It's a judgment seat. That's what the King James says. King James says judgment seat. But look what he says in 2 Timothy. Now notice this thing. Here we go now. Another good thing, bad thing would be false doctrine, wouldn't it not? Look in 2 Timothy. Now notice what he says there in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know King James is the only one that has study in there? All the other versions took that word out. Wonder why? Much study, according to Ecclesiastes, is wearisome to the flesh. They don't want to do nothing like that. Just forget it. So verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That made me think of a guy that came up to me out of class. He said, "Do you really believe Balaam's ass spoke to that old Balaam over there?" I said, "Yeah, I believe it. I do. I believe he spoke." And I said, "When I hear a lot of other preachers preach today, I believe he's still speaking." And boy, he didn't like that one bit. I believe that's what this vain babblings is. But look what he said, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat if doeth a canker. That's like gangrene. It just keeps spreading. He said there, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. You see, these men, they wasn't preaching that there wasn't a resurrection. They just misplaced it and said it already passed. You know what they didn't do? They didn't do what verse 15 says. They didn't rightly divide the word of truth. And they were preaching this. And look what he says there, it overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now here's the text. But in a great house. Well, I know what that house is. That house is the body of Christ. That house is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a great house. Look what he said. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, well, what's these? The false doctrine, the vain babblings, the doctrine that is the, well, look what happens. He said, but also of the wood. In a great house there's vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Now notice in this house, there are not only vessels of gold, silver, vessels of honor, but there are vessels of dishonor. Now, I don't care. A toilet is not a vessel of honor. It's a necessary vessel, isn't it? My grandma, when I was a little boy, I used to go spend the night with her sometime, and she had what she called a slop jar. That was not to put food in. That was to put processed food in, but not regular food. That was a vessel in her house. That was not a vessel of honor, but it was a necessary vessel. No matter how beautiful the house is, there are some vessels of honor. What would make a man be a vessel of dishonor? False doctrine. Don't y'all get it, folks? If you teach people, lead people, plant and water for false doctrine, you're going to make people vessels of dishonor that are not fit for the master's use. And I want to be a vessel of honor, and I'm sure Mark does. I teach and preach the word, try to the best of my ability to rightly divide this Bible. Why? I want people to be vessels of honor, fit for the master's use. At the judgment seat of Christ, your work is planting, watering, and what you do as members of the body of Christ. Turn with me to look in 1 Corinthians again, and notice back in chapter 10. Our motive. Paul said, and I was going to read it, but I will go back there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think one of the characteristics of people that are truly saved in the body of Christ will be the welfare of other people in that body. When you find people that try to tear one another down and run people down and try to discredit them all the time, folks, there's something seriously wrong with that person. Now, I'm honest about it. Now, we here, and I told my church the other Sunday, I mean, we are different attitudes, different opinions, different taste. And if we let our old self go, we'd just tear one another up, fuss and fight and carry on. Because we're different. But we're in the body of Christ. We've had our sins done away with, never to face them again. God is not interested in you as your old stinking rotten flesh. He's interested in you as a member of His body, and how you treat one another in that body, how you serve one another, how you take care of one another. When one member suffers, all of us should suffer. When one is happy, we ought to all be happy. Us, God, you go out and take a hammer, and you take your little toe, and you smash that little toe, and see if your whole body don't hurt. And that's the way it is. Well, we can do without so-and-so. We don't need this. We don't need that. Do you know, I believe I mentioned it today, and a doctor I go to, a lot of times we sit there and just talk. And we got one day we was talking about the body. And he said, in your body, there's parts of your body that are there solely for no other reason just to support another part, support our organ, support this. That's all they do is support another member of the body of Christ. I mean, of your body. Isn't that the way it is, ought to be in the body of Christ? But we're living in, when we're disunity, we're not honoring the Lord, and are we vessels fit for the Master's service? We cannot be if we don't rightly divide this Bible, and if we do not honor one another as members of the same body. So I don't like it. Well, go tell it to somebody that might care. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. They're not necessary. They're not something that I've got to do. All things are lawful for me, but all things what? Edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And that ain't trying to get into my pocketbook. But look at the wealth in verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit, here's the wealth of many, that they may be saved. Folks, that ought to be our goal, is number one, get people saved. Number two, get them into to the knowledge of the truth by showing them the right division of the word of truth. Paul said that to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That ought to be our motive, is to bring the body of Christ, all the members of the body of Christ, into the unity of the faith. That's what you're going to stand at the judgment seat. That's what's going to determine whether you get a reward or not. It's not whether you kiss some grandma-looking white-robed man a finger or toe or anything like that, or you joined some church, or you was baptized, or if you done this or done that, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. It's your work. It's your planting. It's your sword. It's how you treat one another in the body of Christ. Whether you're edifying them, build them up, or tearing them down, whether it's good things or bad things, you will give an account of every one of these. One other passage, and I'm going to go look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. People's got the wrong idea. They think of the body of judgment seat of Christ. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And it is something terrifying about that. It's something terrifying to know that if I'm a wrinkle in the body of Christ, he's going to iron me out one day. Oh, yeah. It's something terrifying about that. When I stand there knowing that my Lord went to this cross and he did all he did for me. I mean, you know what grace to me is? That's when God Almighty knew how I would be. He knew what I would be, and he saved me anyway. He knew I could not live it. He knew I would not live it, and he saved me anyway. An old sinner, helpless. I tried to live it. I mean, there was a time when my wife, June, wore dresses all the time. She was not allowed to wear pants. There was a time in my life that, I mean, I tried to live without sin. To no avail. But I realized Jesus Christ did it all. He's my Lord and Savior tonight. And I don't have to worry about it. It's not about me. It's about Him. And you know the Lord can never say, Brian, I never knew you. He can't do that. Because He knows me. And I know Him. I just don't know about Him. I know Him. And I know what He did for me. And I want people at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul told the Philippians, and I'm not going to turn there. He said, ye are my crown and glory and joy. And people is going to be your crown, your joy. People that you planted and reached with the gospel. People that you brought into the body of Christ. People that you had part in showing them the mystery. And that they become vessels fit for the Master's use. At the judgment seat of Christ, they will be your crown. Can you imagine standing there? And these preachers that have ministered to thousands, if they even make it, at the judgment seat of Christ, and there, those people did not know anything about the body of Christ that they was a part of. They did not know anything about the unity of the Spirit that we endeavor to keep. We strive, we work to keep. They do not know anything about Paul as their apostle. And they stand there. And there he is. And all those people that he could have reached and brought them to the knowledge of the truth. What do you think? His labor's going up in smoke. Because he would not believe it, the truth. Look in Romans 14, verse 7, he says there, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We were judged at Calvary as a sinner. We're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ as a servant. How we served in the body. How we planted. People talk about the chastisement of the Lord. I believe in the chastisement of the Lord for people, and I believe He does it through the Word of God. I was in a religious system, and the Lord corrected me by His Word. In the dispensation of grace, God will correct you by this book. God will speak to you through this book. He will not speak to you, and He does not speak to people the way He spoke to Isaiah. Do you know how He spoke to Isaiah? Isaiah said, "In my ear." Two or three times Isaiah said, "The Lord spoke in my ear." That's an audible voice. Now, the Lord knows there's no use to talk to me that way. Because if I'm somewhere and something speaks in my ear and there's nobody there, I'm out of there. I'd be like going down the road and an angel appears for me. That's not going to happen. I'm not staying in the same car. And if I wake up at night and there's a 6-7 foot man standing at the... I'm going for my shotgun at my bed. So the Lord knows all that. But how does He do it? Through His Word. And He gave pastors and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, so you can go out and do the work of the ministry in the body of Christ. That's the judgment that you're headed for. Not for sin, but for your planting and watering and for what you do in His body to each other.